Looking at the scenes on the Cup more closely, there's no doubt where these encounters are taking place. The musical instruments, the furniture, the clothes, and the hairstyles of the lovers all point to the past, and indeed to the classical Greece of several centuries earlier. Interestingly, we can tell that the two adolescents shown here were not slaves. The style of their haircut, with a long lock of hair trailing down the neck, is typical of free-born Greek boys. Between 16 and 18, the hair would be cut and dedicated to the gods as part of their passage into manhood. So both the boys that we see here are free and from good families. But we can also see another figure who might have been part of the Roman banquet at which the cup was used. He stands in the background, peeping at one of the scenes of lovemaking from behind a door. We only see half his face. He's clearly a slave, although it's impossible to know whether he's simply indulging in a bit of voyeurism or apprehensively responding to a call for room service. Either way, he's a reminder that what we and he are witnessing are acts to be conducted only in private, behind closed doors. Bettany Hughes again.
In Rome, there's a kind of notion that you have good wives and that you should somehow manage without resorting to male sex. But we know from the poetry, we know from the laws, we know from the kind of back references to homosexual relations that actually this was something that did happen throughout the Roman world.